Hi, and welcome to Straight Shot Radio. My name is Johnny Slick, and I'm the founder and head coach at Straight Shot Training, a personal training company that helps people of all fitness levels build strength and confidence with the help of focused and uplifting coaches. On this episode, Coach Bailey and Coach Delaney take over the show. They hosted a live chat on Facebook where they answered questions about overtraining versus under-recovering, ideal shoes for working out, how to tell if you're lifting heavy enough, and more. So let's dive right in.
How do you know if you are overtrained or under-recovered? Yeah, I think that was how she worded it.
Yeah, she said, how can you tell if you're either overtraining or you're under-recovered? Or both.
Yeah.
Which okay. Depends.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, yeah. You kind of said that it's equally the same thing in a certain sense.
Yeah. Depending on the situation.
It's Sharon.
Oh. Karen says, great question. Yeah, so I guess.
Oh, Karen.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, Karen. Yeah, I guess if you want to just discuss the difference between overtraining and under-recovering.
Well, yeah, what did we say? We were like, it depends. Like, you could. She was saying she trained, what, 3-4 times
a
week?
She trains 3 times a week, but she sleeps 8 to 9 hours, which is really good. That's like the number one thing for recovery.
Yeah.
So, oh, there she is. Hey, Jen. So her training level was completely appropriate to her recovery level.
Right.
So we thought hers was from like other external factors, not related to training or overtraining or under.
Yeah, that was like the first question we asked was like, okay, like 3 times a week is like you said, completely appropriate.
Yeah.
But like if you're sleeping 3 hours a night, that's you're gonna be tired, so you're gonna be under recovered. But that wasn't the answer. So she slept. Said like normal.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
actually, better
more. Yeah, 8 hours. Most people don't get that. So then I said something like maybe electrolytes or what did I say? Like vitamin D or
which
iron.
She thought it was like probably possibly vitamin D because she said she was like in the winter blahs.
Which makes sense.
We're in like that time.
Yeah, I think we concluded it's just. The winter months that are like bringing us down a little bit. We just get a little groggy, but but like to determine whether you are or not, I think is sort of like seeing what your day to day looks like. Like if you're in the gym for like 4 hours every day, then that could be your overtraining. If you're not sleeping enough, that could be your under recovery, not eating enough, under recovery in that sense.
Yeah.
Just looking at your day to day.
Yeah, and I would probably say that most people, if they're doing one or the other, most people are probably under-recovered and not overtraining.
Yeah,
for the most part.
Right, I agree.
No, because there's a lot more to recovery than people know, and, like, we're not great at it either. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, I think sleep is, like,
but...
everyone's biggest thing.
Yeah.
It's, like, everyone wants to jump to, like, supplements or, like, cold plunges or something, but, like, if you look at... what you're doing day in, day out, if you're eating like crap, if you're not sleeping enough, like, that's your answer.
Yeah.
Some things could be hormonal or whatever, but that's, like, really particular, and that's something you should look into if you're doing all the right things, right?
Yeah. If you're doing everything you possibly can and nothing's working, then it might be something that is undiagnosed.
I'm trying to, like, read what's happening.
I know, I can't read them.
Oh, I'll read them, too.
Oh, okay.
That's right. That's why I'm wondering. Karen says... I train now harder than ever, just 2 days a week with 3 lighter days in between, stretching and aerobics, etc. Every 6 weeks, my workout switches, probably lighter six-week workouts soon.
With the question of if she's doing too much?
Yeah, what do y'all think? With 2 days a week,
hard
training with 3 lighter days in between.
No, I think that's perfect.
Yeah, that's fine.
She could even do, like, 3 harder days and two lighter days.
And doing, like, aerobics and stuff is, like, super good for, like, recovery anyways, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people also panic about doing too much, so they're like, oh, well, I lifted yesterday, I can't go on this hike today. And it's like, you definitely can, unless
you're
crippled and you can't, like... And you can't, like, literally walk. You know, sometimes we can't even, like, get off the toilet some days, depending on how hard we trained the day before.
Yeah.
But walking is good.
Yeah.
People overthink.
Walking is
great. Yeah.
Walking
is
the answer.
It's
actually better to do, like, a light, active day after, like, a really tough day versus just, like, sitting. Because if you just sit...
Then you feel like crap even the day you come back. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be way more sore.
Right.
What's the next one? Anything...
I would just say, like, when it comes to your week.
Yeah.
Just to, like, not even overthink it, but to know that you're not going to, unfortunately, be as strong as you want to be, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Doesn't mean push yourself to the point where you're, like, trying to lift weights that you've done on, like, your best day ever, but don't give up. Still go to the gym. Still do what you do. I mean...
Look at the next comment.
Tell me when to stop asking
questions. No.
It's the same person.
She says, I thought Delaney Bonner was the same person as the other coach. So I guess they think we're the same. People actually do get us mixed up all the time.
That's Lucy.
We are both Delaney Bonner.
We're in both.
We actually do look
okay, Mark dogs. Asks, what's an ideal week of training? So what type would you do 60s. Each day? Someone in their 50s to 60s. So maybe lay out, if you were to write a workout for someone
like
in their 50s and 60s, what would an ideal week look like?
I would say 3 to 4 times a week. Yeah. Training.
You want to have...
Depending on your personal goals.
Yeah, it really depends the most on goals. Like, it could be completely... Like, someone in their... And also your abilities. Because in the 50 to 60 age range is when you see a lot of variation on, like...
Right.
Like, some people can't even really, like... Because their body's just been through so much, they can't even really sit up and stand up that well. Whereas other people are, like, basically
like running,
doing
marathons
everything.
And, yeah.
Yeah, so it's completely dependent on the person, but you want to have, make sure they're doing any kind of pushing and pulling with their upper body, and then lower body pushing and pulling.
Yeah.
You want to have a good even spread of that throughout the week.
Just like weightlifting and resistance training in general, like, is good for anybody, just at whatever level.
Yeah, but I would have, if you're like over the age of 50, I would have even more unilateral lower body work than most people, just for balance. So unilateral just means you're doing one set at a time.
One at a time, yeah. One limb.
Because as you get older, your balance doesn't quite become what it used to be.
Yeah.
So you're saying that Mark needs to be doing Bulgarian split squats?
Yes.
Okay.
Every day. Not every day.
Bruce.
Bruce wants to know, do you have any favorite coaching cues for Olympic lifts?
I can't even answer this because there's... everyone is so different. So I do not have any, like, super fancy cues because I... Actually, my coaching for that has evolved a lot in the past couple years, and it's... I'm thinking less about cueing people and more about, okay, how can I get their position stronger so they don't have to think as much about...
Because it's like a magic lift.
Yeah, because cues don't really... Cues are great. Like, cues are really good, but cues aren't, like, the end-all be-all, so...
Well, what's, like, the like, form that you tell people? Like, not necessarily cue, but, like, how do you want them to, like, land the...
I guess, like, the biggest issue that I see the most... Not that I've... I haven't coached, actually, a lot for the... Olympic lifts. I've only ever had 2 people, but out of those 2, I would say the biggest thing is people have a really hard time figuring out how to connect that power position, which is in your hips, to getting under.
Oh, they just want to, like, throw.
Yeah, people are either flinging it or they just don't know the timing of when to use their arms in relation to their legs. So timing is, like, everything.
There you go. Yeah.
So I focus a lot on what they're doing at the hips. At least for the 2 people that I have.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I feel like you see people just, like, hip thrust it forward and just, like, expect it to get where they want it to be. And you're like, no.
Yeah. And I've done that for, like, years. So I've had to work so hard to get better at not doing that myself. So it's super easy to just fling it.
Questions are coming in fast.
Oh,
next
my gosh.
Okay. Do you think,
like,
what do you think about working out barefoot? And part 2 of the question, do you use toe spacers?
I think working out barefoot is, like, the best way to work out. I mean, unless you have some sort of, like, crazy arch or you need them. If you don't have, like, good depth in your squat, sometimes using lifters is helpful for the sake of even just, like, being able to get into, like, a deep squat. But barefoot, I think, is the answer. But that's my personal opinion.
Do you use toe spacers?
No. Just, like, spread them out. Just...
I don't like feet. Don't ask me feet questions.
I mean, who likes feet?
I don't like my own feet.
I mean, don't answer that.
Yeah, don't answer. But, no, doing certain things barefoot can be super, super beneficial.
Yeah, you, like, ground better. You, like, understand, like, what your body's doing because you're able to, like, feel. You're not, like, walking on pillows that are running shoes.
Yeah. I wouldn't go as far as, like, if any of you guys know what Squat University is. Like, he does a little bit of like fear mongering with shoes, where he's like, shoes will ruin your feet forever, which like shoes, certain shoes can be really bad for your feet over time. So it is good to like do some things barefoot, but you don't need to go to the extreme.
And yeah, but it's like people who wear like Chucks because they look cool and it's been like the ultimate lifting shoe for such a long time. But if you have a wide foot, it doesn't make any sense to wear Chucks.
Yeah, you have
like,
to wear
Chucks. You're just
going to
be in pain like the whole time.
Yeah.
It's not going to really help you in your lifts.
Yeah.
All right. We'll stick with the shoes really quick and then we'll come back to the other question. Jen wants to know, what do you think of footwear in general? Dedicated weightlifting shoes, question mark.
Oh, I just answered that.
Yes, Connor says yes. I think we just answered that one.
Yeah.
So going up to William's question, he wants to know, what are your thoughts on lifting more weights for less reps versus less weight and more reps? Is it something you should mix up?
Yes.
Or is it totally separate approaches?
You should mix it up. Yeah.
You should really cycle through it.
Yeah, because you want to build you still build muscle if you lift heavy every time, but you won't build the, like, hypertrophy is like 8 to 10, 12-ish reps.
Yeah, depending on
and that's
the
like
lift.
What like actually builds the muscle, because you're straining it so much more, where the quicker is there like power, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you have cycles where you're doing more like
time under tension,
so your muscles are basically working for a longer period of time, which is good for your endurance, but also good for building up your muscle size, which is good for your joint health. But then there is like a really good time and place to train max lifts, like Bailey said, like you want to cycle through, and it depends on.
She says hypertrophy.
What you've done.
Question mark.
Oh, hypertrophy means like if your muscles are getting bigger.
You're almost breaking them down a lot more than you typically would in a bigger lift, a heavier lift for 3 reps. You're not going to build muscle off of that too much. How do you explain that? You're sort of like building more and more by doing more volume.
Yeah, and the fibers don't like, you don't like grow more muscle fibers, but your muscles like get expanded. They literally get bigger.
Yeah, it's like when you get a pump. You've ever done like bicep curls? But you're not going to do 3 bicep curls because you're not going to see anything after that. After 12, you're going to be like, I look good because you've got that pump going on. It's kind of the same concept.
Yeah.
Similar question. Can I get stronger without getting bigger?
Yes.
Oh. Yes, you can.
You see those pound for pound people over here.
Hi.
Super strong.
So do you train differently for that?
I think depends on your stature.
Yeah.
Depends on what your metabolism's like. You obviously, like, can bulk, and you can dirty bulk, which means you eat pizza and donuts all day and lift heavy and voluminous weights.
Voluminous weights.
But if you... yes. But you also can be mindful of what you eat and eat in almost, like, a maintenance... Like, until you get the strength you want. You're still going to gain strength because you're working those muscles. That's what Johnny did. What did you... Wasn't your, like... Didn't you maintain? And... No, you cut and you gained.
I lost 20 pounds.
And you gained how much on... Was it, like, a particular...
I hit lifetime PRs on
lifetime
those.
PRs,
yeah.
20
pounds.
Back to feet. More feet questions, though. This is important. This is the feet episode. Back to shoes. Are Hokas good for workouts?
No.
They're good for running. not good for lifting at all.
They're like a boat. They're like this, right?
Yeah, they're literally like a boat.
Yeah.
Like, a good rule of thumb is, like, the squishier the shoe, the worse it is for lifting. But the better it can be for running.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. Because it's, like, your natural, like, walk. You want that cushion back and forth when you walk.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to, like, ground down onto something, you're not going to have... You're going to, like, almost roll an ankle because you have this, like, pillow underneath of your feet.
Yeah.
Imagine doing step-ups and, like... On pillows.
On a pillow.
That'd be tough.
Or you have marshmallows on your feet.
Yeah, it's literally what you kind of have to think of it as. So.
What information should people tell their trainers when they come into the gym?
That's a really good question. If you have any new injuries is number one.
It's like overall health issues.
Yeah. If you're like, hey, I just got diagnosed with this thing that's like pertinent to like my training, then we need to know that too.
What about almost like how they want to be trained in a sense? Like, I have clients who don't want to be here. They don't want to be here at all. They hate it. But they come here because they make an appointment and they know that if I don't bug them, they won't come in.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice to know.
Yeah.
What about psychological or emotional?
Yeah, like if you're having like a really bad day and you're like, well, I won't name names or like say what the example was, but like I had a client that went through something like sad and bad like back last January, and when she came in for her next session, I was like, do you want to talk about it during the session, or do you want to just use the session as a distraction? And she was like, oh, a distraction. So stuff like that is good to know, because then we know like what you need mentally.
William says you should tell your trainer what kind of music you want to listen to.
No, all
is
the
that
train,
a question?
All the time.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
You can give us suggestions, but if other people in the group complain, they're not allowed to complain to us. But I've never had that happen. So. I don't think Bailey has either. I can't read that. Is that
no, I think it's the music one.
Oh.
Yeah. Next one is, and I'll type this since it's a longer one so that they can read it in the comments, but someone is having trouble starting working out because they can't commit to 2 or 3 times a week. But they feel like it's pointless to only do 1, like, 20-minute workout a week. So how do they go from doing nothing to starting when they feel like starting is pointless?
Well, like a 20-minute workout. One
20-minute workout a week.
A week. That's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. And, it might, like, you know, once you kind of get past through that, like, threshold of being like, oh, you know what? I can actually do more. You kind of, like, come back and you do more. But that's because they don't have any time.
Yes.
I think that's something you got to really think about. Like, you can say you don't have time, and I understand, like, especially if you have kids, if you have a full-time job, if you have multiple jobs, like, it is hard to make time, but sometimes you have to literally make time. When you get up in the morning, do you get up just enough time to just, like, roll out of bed, go to work, get things ready? Like, can you get up earlier? Can you, you know, make time in the evening? Do you sit on your phone? Like, what's your screen time like? Like, are you sitting on your phone for, like, 20 minutes at a time throughout the day? What does that mean? Like, could you put that aside and do a couple push-ups while you scroll Instagram for 20 minutes instead? But how would you say, like, jumping into it without, forcing it almost?
Yeah,
like, making a reminder?
Yeah, and like Bailey said, it's like, there's always, it's almost like about like priorities.
Priorities,
like,
yeah.
You can have like free time. Like, I think people have more free time than they realize. And it's like, okay, am I using it to do this? Or am I choosing to use it to do something else? So you have to kind of pick. But definitely don't look at starting as pointless.
Yeah.
But something that'll help if you feel like it's pointless is if you schedule something with a trainer, then that keeps you accountable. Because then you know someone's waiting for you. You can think of it as like a doctor's appointment. Like, you'll schedule stuff around a doctor's appointment because it's pretty essential to your health. So look at training the same way.
Yeah.
Even if it's like once a week.
Yeah, I also think it depends on like what your goal is too. Because like if your goal is to just move more, you could just take your lunch break, eat lunch, go on a walk.
Like, yeah, that's like
walking
super good.
Super underrated, and you can actually lose a lot of weight just walking. I've seen it.
Yeah, walking is great.
Walking, yeah.
Walking is fantastic.
When you are working out on your own, what are some key exercises you should incorporate? I.e., what do you consider 3 or 4 essential exercises? Mm-hmm. Many seem to be variations of a key exercise. So like different versions of a squat, different versions of a press. So kind of what are your 4? I'm working on my own. 4 exercises I need to be doing.
Like unilateral lower body?
Let's say dumbbell. They're working out.
Okay. Goblet squat. Romanian deadlift. Floor press and heavy farmer's carries.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I don't know.
I was going to say stabilization, like core without doing a million crunches.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say unilateral things too.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Lunges.
Walking lunges, or the like single leg RDLs or something like that.
An alternating press. You could also do single sided carries, like a suitcase carry
that's
or
good
a
for
single-sided
the core
overhead
too,
carry.
Yeah. I only say that because I think overall that helps you get stronger in general. Like, if you can't really squat very well, it's probably easier for you to do, like, I don't know, like a not a reverse lunge, like a assisted, you know what I'm saying?
Like a step up?
Yeah, something like that. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Because sometimes when you go in for the lift itself, it's hard, but if you do, like, a modified version and you strengthen the limbs differently, or separately, it makes things a little bit easier towards, you know, getting to that squat.
Yeah.
If I'm doing both resistance training and cardio, should I lift or do cardio first?
Same day?
Same session.
Oh, I typically don't recommend people do it the same day. Mm-hmm. Depending. But
I would lift first. It depends on, like, what your goals are, though. Because if you're trying to be, like, if you're trying to lift really heavy, then I wouldn't do that. I maybe would do that, but it shouldn't be aggressive cardio afterwards because you're just going to, like, kind of beat yourself up after your heavy lifts.
Yeah. But I agree with Bailey. If you have to do them both the same day, definitely lift first and then run. But if you do both together, like if you do them together multiple days, you could alternate the intensity. So like on your heavy lifting day, you do a light cardio, like Bailey said. And then on the next time, do an intense cardio one, but start with like a lighter resistance one.
Yeah.
Jen's given us like
Come on,
Jen. 10 questions.
Right.
No, I love it.
Wu-Tang Forever. What did we miss?
Somebody's Will was talking about, or we're going to talk about music.
Oh,
this is a great one. How do I know if I'm lifting heavy enough?
Oh, that is a good question.
Are you having a hard time breathing? No, I think a lot of people do not really understand like what heavy lifting is. They feel that it's tough, but then they kind of surrender. But are you like sort of breathless afterwards? I mean, I think when all of us lift quote unquote heavy, we're like holding our breath, really bracing our belly, and then like being able to like, I don't know,
breathe, like
being like panting afterwards because we're lifting so heavy. I wouldn't say that's the answer because you could also pick up something insanely heavy and be winded after that and might not be the right weight. But what do you think?
Yeah.
That when like percentages kind of come in? I don't know. Do you?
Yeah. Actually, I don't know. I'm thinking of this question in like broad terms. Like in my training overall, am I lifting heavy enough?
True.
But which you would know if you're making progress. If you're not making progress, probably not heavy enough. But it should feel really difficult. Like, that's the thing with lifting is, like, you should not be done your set and you feel like you could do, like, 20 more reps.
Yeah.
If you did, it's the wrong weight, probably. But, if you aren't making progress or you aren't, like, if you're not making numerical progress or you're not making some kind of technical progress, then it's probably not heavy enough for you to see change.
That makes sense.
Overall. But everyone's numbers are completely different.
Yeah.
So what's heavy for you might be like...
Well, that's what I was wondering about percentages.
Heavy for another person. And percentage work is interesting. I can't remember where I read this, but there was somewhere that I read where women statistically can handle volume better than men, where men can handle...
That kind of makes sense.
Like singles of something or doubles at like 90% way more than women can.
Is that like pain tolerance? Relevant?
No, I think it was like something hormonal.
It's trainability. So women.
Is it like your recovery?
Women actually gain strength faster than men.
Yeah. What?
But that was a question I think we skipped over a little bit from Jen. Find it.
Oh.
Anything different about training to know
men
as men?
No, we did.
Oh,
we're talking
that's
about
right,
the,
yeah, we
our week.
Yeah.
Time.
But yeah.
But I guess even beyond your cycle, is do you all notice training men versus women? Do you see differences in how they gain strength, how they learn things, their approach to training?
Men are definitely more stubborn.
Yeah.
You want to, you know, yeah, that's one thing. So I don't know, maybe in the opposite, women are almost a little scared to push themselves, and men are, like, willing to push themselves to the point where they injure themselves. So women might have a little bit more like hesitant tendencies than to not push themselves as much.
Mark wants to know who complains more.
Oh, actually, I don't know. I feel like everyone complains.
Yeah, everyone complains.
Yeah, I would say actually age
is
the more thereafter complaining. But that's okay. That's fine. We don't care about complaints. We just roll with it. But yeah, I would actually say...
I think it's men.
Men complain more?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Mark agrees, too. It's specific recommendations for belly fat.
That's the kitchen.
I feel like I'm getting stronger. I can see differences in my arms, legs, butt looking more toned, but not in my stomach. Seems to have more fat than ever. Any suggestions?
Food.
Yeah. Exercises don't target fat like the 90s want you to think it does.
calorie deficit. I mean, not necessary. I mean, yeah. I guess it is.
Yeah. Biggest thing for fat loss, well, biggest things, and, like, the first one's kind of unfortunate because it's, like, out of your control, but genetics plays a fact in, like, where you tend to
hold
fat and also lose fat. Food is, like, the number one thing, and sleep. Food and sleep,
sleep.
Recovering. You're lifting, like, if you're getting your core stronger, you'll build up more lean mass in your core, but it's not going to actually take away.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You could still build your abs. You could still focus
sure
on
that.
But, yeah, the fat there is definitely, like, food.
Yeah.
Wait, Katie asked this question.
Katie said...
Yeah, this will make her final question here.
what
movement
you
do you just
I know which
loathe?
One she loathes. We should try and guess each other's. Which one do we think each
what
other
yours
hates?
Is?
But it can't be a strongman or Olympic lifting.
Okay,
one.
So just basic lifts.
Yeah. Did I just kick you? I'm sorry.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe pressing?
I love pressing.
Do you like pressing?
Oh, wait, no. I hate bench pressing. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, bench pressing.
Well, I know what yours is now. Push press?
What? My least favorite?
Wait, yeah.
No, I love
your back.
I love push press.
Oh.
So think of my back.
Oh, deadlifts.
Yeah.
Oh, dumb.
Only because they suck right now. So, but yeah.
Sweet. Guess we want to sign off. You want to say anything before you leave? And then you have a 1 p.m. client.
I have a 1 p.m.
Me too.
How do they sign off on...
thank you.
Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks, Katie. Oh, thanks, Jen, for asking all of our questions.
Yeah, thanks for being here today. yeah, I would just say if you guys have any questions outside of here, just message us.
Yeah, or if you see us in person, which
don't
most,
be afraid
most of you
to
do,
ask.
But.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. If you would like to learn more about how you can work with Straight Shot coaches like Bailey and Delaney in person or remotely, you can head to straightshottraining.com. While you're there, you can download a copy of our free ebook, Train Away Your Pain, and sign up to try a free session at our award-winning studio in Frederick, Maryland. Have a great next workout, and I'll catch you all next time.